The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 7. Two stratagems whereby Satan labors to keep the weak Christian from the duty of prayer. His first design upon thee will be to keep thee from prayer, to effect which he wants not his stratagem. Many objections he will start and discouragement thrown in thy way to this duty, hoping that if thou stumblest not at one, yet he may make thee fall by another. And, which is worse, thou wilt find a party in thy own bosom ready to listen to what he saith, yea, to take up his arguments, and maintain the dispute against thy engaging in this work. We shall pick a few among many, and put an answer into thy mouth against he comes. Section 1. What, thou pray? If thou dost, thou wilt but play the hypocrite, and thou hadst better not pray at all. Nay, probably thy own misgiving heart may suggest the same, or at least so far credit his charge, as to make thee waver in thy thoughts, what thou shouldest do, pray or not. Now, to arm thee against this, first consider, thou art but afraid thou shouldest play the hypocrite. But thou wilt certainly prove thyself an atheist if thou dost not, and that is it which we would have. I hope thou art wiser than to neglect a known duty upon a jealousy thou hast of miscarrying in it, to lie down in a known sin, yea, so broad a one as brands him for an atheist that continues in it for fear of meeting a lion, and may be but a bugbear in the way of thy obediency to an indispensable command. Secondly, thou art in least danger of playing the hypocrite because of thy fear. Some bodily diseases indeed are catched with fear. He is most likely to have the plague that fears it most, but none are so safe from sin as they that most fear the falling into it. I desire no better argument to prove thee sincere than thy fear of hypocrisy. If this be the great trouble of thy soul, the devil hath more reason to fear thy sincerity than thy hypocrisy, and this it is that makes him endeavor to dissuade thee from prayer, because thou wouldst scare him so much by thy praying. If thou wert a hypocrite, as he pretends, he would invite and persuade thee to it, rather than thou shouldest not come to the work, and when thou art risen from thy knees, he would thank thee for thy pains, because he knows God would not. The hypocrite does him more service than God. You do not believe, surely, that the devil was any great enemy to Jezebel's fasting. Nay, I doubt not, but he put it into her head, that she might thereby mock both God and man. Her fast was the devil's fast. Thirdly, if thou findest more cause to fear thy playing the hypocrite than I do, who am a stranger in thy heart, I say, if thou fearest this, that this is the sin which is most likely to make a breach upon thee in thy duty, so as Moses did, who slew the Egyptian to rescue the Israelite, destroy the sin, that thou mayest rescue thy soul from the neglect of a duty. Thou hast a fair advantage by the intelligence God graciously gives thee, whence thy danger is most likely to come, of falling on an enemy and taking the fuller revenge on him before thou settest about the work of prayer. If in thy heart thou hate this odious sin, and art fixed in thy resolution against it with God's blessing, it shall neither be able to hurt thee nor hinder thy prayer. Section 2. Oh, but saith Satan, thou hast no gifts for prayer. Leave that for them that can perform this duty better after a better fashion. What meanest thou by gifts? If a flowing tongue, which have some whereby they are able on a sudden, with a long-continued discourse to run over all the heads of prayer, in a clear method, and clothe every petition with apt and moving expressions, we will suppose thou hast not the gift. But God forbid that the want of this should keep thee from praying or make thee go the less comfortable to the duty. The want of these shows only thou hast not so good a head, but dost that the least hinder thy heart to be as gracious as theirs, and better the defeat should be found in thy head than in thy heart. Thy invention in prayer is and by thy will be more barren than the heart may be as fruitful over the few broken disjointed sentences that fall from thee as theirs with their eloquent oration. Thy language will not be so gaudy as thy soul and spirit may be as sound, yea, more upright than many of those who charm the ears of those that join with them. It is possible a man may have a rotten body under a gaudy suit, and under this fine language a poor ragged conscience, who had not rather be sincere with mean gifts than rotten-hearted with these great parts. We do not count him the best patriot, that is, the best orator, and makes more rhetoric speeches than others, but he that takes the best side. It is not the rhetoric of the tongue, but the hearty amen, with which the sincere soul seals every holy requisite that God values, and this thy honest heart will help thee do to do, which his head cannot, that wants this sincerity. It is not the fairness of the hand that gives the force to the bond, but the persons whose hand and seals it is. Gifts may make a fair appearance, but faith and sincerity make a valid prayer, and this alone can lay claim to the good things of the promise. In a word, sincere soul, though thou hast not these praying gifts as others, yet thou hast as much interest in Christ, the unspeakable gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15, as any of them all. And for thy everlasting encouragement, no, it is not those gifts in them, but this gift of God in thee and all believers, which is the key that must open God's heart, if any mercy be got thence. Yea, this gift must sanctify their glittering gifts, as the altar did the gold upon it, or they will be an abomination to the Lord. End of chapter 7.